I want to ask you a question. What did you think of the two hymns we sang tonight? They were both written at least not in this century. So there's some age to them, both. Now, the last one we sang is a little newer than the first one we sang. I'll get to my point in a few minutes here. Turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians, chapter 1. And we're going to start off with God's plan. Colossians 1, 16 through 18. And in the book of Colossians, Paul tells us, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." This past Sunday, I attended a different kind of church. It had some kind of a spiritual message, but the church was there for entertainment. Did the preacher preach the gospel? Yes. But he didn't tell the people how to get to the place that he was talking about. There was very little scripture and a lot of effort put into working us up into an emotional response. The music was ultra-contemporary. I'd never heard any of the songs before, because I don't listen to that kind of music. The music, much of the music had the same words. Each song had the same words over and over and over and over. They were shown on videos, TVs, up on the front of the church with some kind of a picture with activity in it. And the congregation listened and watched the video accompaniment more than it participated in singing. A few of the members sang along with the video because they knew the song. I didn't know it. I'd never heard them. I don't remember the music mentioning Jesus at all, though it may have referred to him somewhere. There were hymnals in the racks on the backs of the pews, but no one ever picked up a hymnal. I'm not criticizing the church. It was just different from our church. And I must admit that it was packed out. This evidently was what the people wanted. No one was dressed up, not even the pastor. Now, when I was in school, which was in the last century, we were told to dress to show respect for God and the audience. And I didn't feel much worship taking place at all during the service. A lot of the time was talking about the storm and how people were recovering. The message was about being saved, although it was never clearly defined. People were to believe on the Lord Jesus, but no definitive scripture was ever offered. It was just believe and everything will take care of itself. Nothing about what Jesus said or what Paul said about being saved. The service closed with some more ultra-contemporary music and a video showing a river flowing through the woods. And that was the service, folks. The church was packed with young and old. The pastor was young. He did a lot of shouting, and he was animated. He was preaching like an old-time pastor, and every so often he would make the same exclamation and draw a breath. He just didn't have the old-time message. How is our church different? We sing the old-time hymns, and we speak about what Jesus said and what our Heavenly Father wrote in His Word. I want you to know why and what you believe from Scripture. We are not assembling to be entertained, but we are assembling to worship God, Jesus, and God's Holy Spirit. I want you all to know how things work. I want you to understand the Bible so that you can explain it to someone else. How can you explain what you don't study? I would like you to know why you believe what you believe from the one source of truth, the Scriptures. When I came here 11 years ago, I told your deacons at that time that I would be faithful to preach the word in all of it for all of the time that I was here. And I have tried to do that. We're not a unique church. There are churches scattered all over the country that share with their church family what the various writers of Scripture have said. Those churches share and teach what Jesus said because it's important to the philosophy of the church family. If we're not doing what Jesus told us to do, then we're doing the same thing that Israel did throughout the Old Testament. We are rebelling against God. Now, I don't believe that there are any believers in that. I don't believe that there are any believers in a right standing with God that would intentionally rebel against God and be comfortable in that circumstance. We need to take the position that the Apostle Paul tells us of in Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Paul wrote to the Philippian church, "Not that I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." It's not about us. It's about Jesus and how we are to be ambassadors for Christ. Many people calling themselves Christians have a poor representation of who Jesus was by their refusal to do the things that Jesus told all of his followers to do. That's why we need to read and study all of the Bible and keep the teachings as an active part of our life. This church practices the Bible, and it tries to emulate the things that Jesus did. To do that, we need to more than just an admonition to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to know what Jesus taught his disciples. And that is what we have been trying to do for the last 11 years. To know what Jesus taught his disciples is not the end. We must do what Jesus taught his disciples, not just read about them. And that will not happen without teaching and preaching from the Bible. We are people who, like the Apostle Paul, have not yet attained, but we are working daily to become what Jesus would have us become. When I look at our church, I see a family that has changed and become more like Jesus Christ because it has studied the Word of God and has implemented the teachings we find in the Word. Unfortunately, there have been a few along the way that have chosen to withdraw from a walk of faith rather than fight the good fight that Paul told Timothy to do. Paul's admonition was given as a command to his convert Timothy. In 1 Timothy 6:12, Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:12, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou also art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Paul addresses something that we don't verbalize very often, and that would be the fight of faith. You see, faith has to be fought for on our part, because it doesn't just become a part of our life. God's Holy Spirit gives it to us, but it can be lost because of our natural propensity is to trust self or depend upon our own abilities to overcome challenges that seem to be obstacles to our progress. The world doesn't know it, but it has to start with faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior, or we are fighting a losing battle and will perish in the end. One of the things that I saw in this church, and that when they were talking about a good part of the service time, was how they were helping each other. And FEMA never came into that area. If the people were going to, and the county ran out of money very early because they had never anticipated something like this happening. And so there were trees across every highway, not just one or two or three or four, but dozens and dozens and dozens. And many of them were oak trees that were almost 3 feet in diameter. And they would just cut the trunk of the oak tree so that one lane of the road would be open and you could pass through there. And and there were many places, if you did not watch, you would dent the side of your car on the tree because it was on both sides of the road, in the road. But they did the best they could for each other and for themselves. And many times as Christians, we have a certain self-confidence, and there's nothing wrong with that, but we come to a point where we have a self-confidence and we trust ourselves. And so we're not really thinking about how God is taking care of us and how God is... And I didn't hear any conversation saying, well, God let me do this, or God permitted me to do this, or God enabled me to do that. It was I did this, or so-and-so did that, and it was all being attributed to the people. Now, how do we know what God's will is? If we read our Bibles, we can know, and that should cause us to exert more effort to overcome our enemy, the devil, to remain within our faith and within our faithful family. I really hate to see people depart from the church family because they are walking away from God's plan for them. It's very obvious, we're told in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, that we are not to leave the church or stay away from the church, that we are to be a part of the church. It's to be a part of us. Find that at verse 25. So God has a plan for all of our lives, and that does not include letting the devil divert us from the place that God has placed us, or the opportunities that he is affording us. Sometimes people rebel against God, and there are many portions of Scripture that are rejected. In that church that I was in last Sunday, there was no preaching or teaching about forgiveness, which Jesus commanded of his followers, and he did. He commanded it several times. Matthew 6, 14 and 15 is one of the places, Sermon on the Mount, when his apostles ask him, teach us to pray. In Matthew 6, 14 and 15, Jesus said, for if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you. Your heavenly Father will also forgive you if you forgive men their trespasses. What a horrible way to go through life, with a root of bitterness growing in a person's heart. I've heard people say, well, you don't know what they have done to me. And when someone tells me that, I've had people reply that, well, you don't know what they did to me. And I'll say, how many times did they do it? Did they do it seven times? Well, no, they did it once. What did Jesus tell his disciples? What did he tell them? It's in Matthew 18, 21 and 22. Peter came to Jesus and asked him a question. Matthew 18, 21, 22 says, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. That's what Jesus said. Are we going to obey him, or are we going to rebel against our Savior? As a church, we are trying to present the whole gospel with all of the things that Jesus taught his disciples. Something that has been lost today in many churches is the discipling of converts. They get a person saved and they turn them loose, and that's the end of it. And we are told to disciple converts, teach them what Jesus said, what Jesus did. Something has been lost today in many of the churches in the discipling of converts. That's something that has to be done, or we're going to see the church. We're going to lose the church around the world. That's the reason that the church is so much in decline. Converts are not being discipled. When they get saved, they are turned loose on their own, and they do not have the tools from God's word to survive as a disciple of Christ in the world. Sunday nights and Wednesday nights are important times for believers to be in church if there are church services. Look around. There's 10 people here tonight. We had almost 30 this morning. So there's no emphasis put on Sunday night. I tried to find a church, that whole area up there. I was in an area that was probably, let's say, 20 miles in diameter around the area. There was not a single church that had a Sunday night service. Not a single one. And it wasn't because of the storm. They'd quit having Sunday night service because nobody was coming out. A few of the churches had a Wednesday night service. What do you do when you're in an area like that? So, it's necessary for the church to teach the church family what Jesus said and what he did. And people, we've got a very, very serious day coming up here next week on Tuesday. The church could be won or the church could be lost next Tuesday, depending on who is elected. I'm not telling you who to vote for or taking sides. I'm just telling you that one of the two people who are running for president will be an enemy of the church and will do everything they can to close it down by imposing taxes upon it. And most churches couldn't afford the taxes, by making the Bible illegal to preach in public. There's just so many things that they've been working on, but they couldn't get them all done before the election. So, folks, it could be we might be entering a time of real trial, a time where God is going to test us. Are you real or are you not real? So Sunday and Wednesday nights are important for us, because that's when we do the majority of our teaching. Sunday school also is when we do the majority of our teaching. That is a time of actually discipling. It's not just to have another service. There's a purpose for it. There were no Sunday, like I said, there were no Sunday night services. I drove several miles, probably, I don't know how many miles. I drove many, many miles looking for a church that was open. I finally even stopped at the Walhalla Police Department to see if they could tell me if there were any churches that had Sunday night, and they were locked up tight. Sunday school is important. Sunday night is important. Wednesday night is important. Because that's where we do the learning and teaching about our Savior. There's a very good reason for us to learn about Jesus. And that reason is given to us in God's Word. 1 Corinthians 12:27. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, "Now ye are the body of Christ, as members in particular. If you indeed are a member in particular, then you should do everything you can to learn about what Jesus expects of you." There are many scriptures that explain to us what God wants. Let me give you a passage to start with. Ephesians 4:11-13. Ephesians 4:11-13 tells us, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." That word edify means to build up. How are we building it up when 10 of us show up at night? And I think there were about 10, I don't know how many were on Wednesday, this past Wednesday night, but I've seen Wednesday nights where we've had 6 or 7. How is that edifying the body of Christ? And verse 13, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." I hope every one of you want to experience the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not to quit. We're to keep working to attain what Jesus wanted us to become in him. God called me to be a preacher, and he called you to be a part of a church family. Will you do your part to fulfill that position for the Lord? There are so many things that we must learn in order to be able to serve God in a way that he wants us to. Let's look at a couple more scriptures that deal with the church being the body of Christ. Colossians 2:16-17. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink, or in respect of an holiday, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. The church today is the representative of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. If the church preaches and teaches salvation by the shed blood of Jesus upon the cross of Calvary for the remission of sins, they must also teach about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And I did not hear one word last Sunday about either one of these things. Not one. Yet the church was full. And it made me wonder, what are we missing? What are we doing wrong? And I don't believe we are doing wrong. We teach that we need to learn all we can about Jesus, attending the various services and being involved in the activities that are offered by this local assembly. Paul wrote about being involved in all that goes on in the local church. We even have a night of fellowship, one night a month. We could do a lot more. Hebrews 10:24-25. I referred to it earlier. Let me read it. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. What is the world word talking about? It's talking about the return of Jesus Christ to rule the world for 1,000 years. Now, it's not talking about the rapture, when he takes the church out of the world before the great tribulation, but it's talking about when Jesus returns at the end of the great tribulation with his army from heaven. He returns to Jerusalem to destroy the Antichrist and the evil that exists everywhere in the world. That is the day that is approaching. Yes, our church is different than the one I attended last Sunday, in that it teaches about all the things that are mentioned in God's Word. And we offer opportunities for our people to serve God according to their abilities. If you choose not to serve God, that's not between you and the church, but that's between you and God. We are providing all that you need to have a complete, active relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to keep in mind what John said about Jesus in his gospel. John 1:1-4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The church that I attended meets to please the people. We meet to please God here by proclaiming all of his word. If you don't want to believe all of it, that's between you and God. I would ask that you spend some time in prayer talking to the Lord about your heart and letting him show you what you need to do to please and glorify him. God wants to have you prepared to serve him by proclaiming his word to the world. How can you proclaim what you have never been taught? And I know it's early, but this was the message that God gave me. And I was there are churches in that area closed. I thought that perhaps when my time here comes to an end, that Gabrielle and I might go over there to that area and help the churches. But there are scores of churches that have closed up because they could not provide for a pastor. And nationally, this is something that we don't talk about a whole lot. Nationally, there is one pastor for every four churches. One pastor for every four churches. That means that three churches out of four are looking for somebody. I stopped by the mission that I was with when I came to Greenville, and I asked them about that area and what they could tell me about it. They gave me a list, a page and a half, of churches that have contacted them asking for help. A page and a half. 8.5, 11 sheet. Everywhere. God has blessed us. God has built us up over these years. We are, yes, we're comfortable, I hope. But we also have an opportunity to minister it, and we're going to take advantage of that beginning this week. Some of you will be tired when you're out there at the fair because it's a long day. I'm going to be out there Thursday with a Spanish brother from the other church. If any Spanish people come through, he'll talk with them about how to come to the Lord. I'll do all I can with the English speaking. So he and I'll be there all day Thursday. Some of you are going to be there for the day, from sometimes 3 o'clock in the afternoon till 10 or 11 o'clock at night. That's a long day. You will be tired, but you are serving the Lord. You are serving the Lord. You are doing what he has called you to do. What a privilege. Then Gabrielle and I will be out there Friday and Saturday of the following week. Fortunately, we're just three doors down from the food court, so we can snack the whole time. I'd like to close this message tonight with a verse of Scripture. One that you can think about because it is very sobering to me. Romans 10, verses 16 and 17. Romans 10, verses 16 and 17. Where Paul, writing to the Roman church, about the church, says, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" And then he gives us this great verse. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And so, folks, we're going to continue as long as we are a local church to preach the word of God. Father, we are going to need your help as we attempt to serve you in these next couple of weeks. Father, we would ask that you prepare the hearts of the people that are going to be coming by our booth. I would ask, Father, that you would prepare our hearts to speak to the people, that your Holy Spirit would give us the scriptures we need to make a lasting impression, an eternal impression upon those people. May we see people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. May we see them born again by the power of your Holy Spirit, not by us, but by the power of your Holy Spirit. We know your will is that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. So, Father, we pray for your will there at the Coastal Carolina Fair, that your will be done and that Jesus Christ will be glorified, because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.